And this isn't just about your pastor doing it. This is about the church being the church, rallying around hurt, rallying around people that need it, not just going up to them at greeting time, but saying, hey, can we grab coffee after?
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim, two pastors discussing practical details about life, leadership, parenting, and being more centered around Jesus first. The goal of this show is to help you keep your eyes on Jesus through the busyness of life and clutter of your schedules. Now, join us for the conversation.
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast. This is Tim here with you. Drew was unable to make it today, but I am joined by Brett Snodgrass. He's my guest this week, and he's the founder of Iron Deep. Well, he founded that in 2021, which is a unique men's community made of risk-taking leaders. He's also a real estate investor, father of four children, and husband to his wife, Karen. Brett's new book is The Secret War Within. Brett, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Tim. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited. Excited to be on this show. I love the title, Eyes on Jesus. So
yeah,
that's what we're all about, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you sent me your book, which I thank you for that. I was able to dive into it, and I just had to have you on to talk about it because a really awesome book, and we'll talk about that a little bit here. But just let everyone know, like, a little more about you. Kind of, you know, how you came to the faith, anything you'd like people to know that wasn't in the brief bio I said.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. And thanks again. A little bit about me. I'm Brett Snodgrass. I live in Indiana, born and raised as a Hoosier. Grew up, my dad was a high school basketball coach. He's also a high school teacher. Mom was a preschool teacher. So I didn't grow up in the business world, entrepreneurial world. And I grew up, you know, going to church, but definitely never grabbed a hold of it, honestly, until I was 30 years old. So I'm 44 now. So I spent most of my life actually as a non-Christian, believed in God, definitely did not make him my Lord and Savior. Really lived most of my 20s in kind of the party life, you know, just for myself, I guess, right? Just my own glory, my own self-gratification. And that's what I live for. And then, you know, about 30 years old, I started a business, had a two-year-old at that time out of wedlock, and just felt honestly miserable, rock bottom at that point in my life. And I just started seeking something bigger, right? Just the bigger story. What is this all about? What's the meaning of life? What is my purpose in life and passion in life? And that took this wrestling match of honestly about 6 to 8 months of seeking what is real, what is the truth. And that's when I came to Christianity. God showed up in my bedroom. It was September the 15th, 2010. So about 14 years ago. And yeah, so it's been a 14-year journey now, following Christ, living for him, and really just wanting to make everything that I am, everything that I do, my family, my business, about his glory. And do I do that perfectly? Absolutely not. I'm a humble man, and my flesh fights back much of the time, but the spirit in me says, you know, for him, he's my father, and for him to be the glory. So that's how I kind of came to Christianity. Now I am a husband to Karen for 11 plus years. We have four children, and I'm also a creator. I love to create. I'm an entrepreneur. So, you know, lots of times I create a business, and that's really where the book came from too. It's like, you know, I love to kind of give them that creative space. You might know this, you know, just to spend time with God. What does he want? And just to get into that creative space, I think it just, you know, we're made in his image. And I think obviously he's a very creative God for what he has designed in us, the whole world. So, yeah. So that's what I love to do as well.
That's awesome. Have you always written, like, this is your first book, right? But have you always like loved to write, or is this something that just got impressed upon you to do?
Yeah. I have not always loved to write, honestly. And I never thought I was a very good writer. I
relate to that because I feel the same way.
I mean, honestly, before I even started this journey writing the book, I mean, I joked around. I was like, I'm like a C- English student. I don't know, you know, what I'm doing. And I started meeting with a mentor that helps people write books and start asking them certain questions. And he just said, it's just, you know, share your story, share your heart, bear your soul into it. And this was one of the most difficult things that I probably have done. It's been a labor of love, a passion. It took me 18 months to kind of get it from beginning to end. So I guess to answer your question, I'm not a writer, I would say, but I do love to create. I do my own podcast called the Iron Deep Podcast. I've done videos. I've always enjoyed creating skits, even as a kid, whatever that looks like. So I love to create and just happen to be in a book in this form right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, whenever I write something, whether it's a blog or a book, I'm just like, I don't ever want to write again, is what I think. And And then God brings something else to mind. It's like, fine, I'll write this, you know, but it's definitely something I do out of obedience rather than passion.
Yeah, for sure. I love to speak though. And I think that's one thing that writers can, if you're a speaker and you can do podcasts, you can speak into it. It's very similar. It's just, you know, different form. So.
Yeah, well, now you can just speak into a microphone and have it transcribed or edited through ChatGPT or it's crazy world. So.
Right.
So you said God met you in your hotel room. Was that it? Or your bedroom? What did that look like? I love hearing people's stories of just God meeting them, you know, and it's sometimes unique for everyone. But would you like to share more about that?
Yeah. I can definitely share a little bit about it. So yeah, it's kind of like in this wrestling match and my aunt had passed away around that time. She was 51 years old, died of cancer, went to her funeral. And my uncle's up there speaking about his wife. And he said, you know, if she was here right now, she would say, a relationship with Christ is the number one thing you should pursue, you should do. And I'm over here kind of like wrestling with God. And he said, you know, start reading the book of John. And so I went home a week, 2 weeks later, and God was just kind of speaking to me, you know, reading through the book of John. And I really just started doing that. And kind of a wonky story with it, I had taped, DVR was huge back then. So you're taping different channels. And I had taped, I think, the finale for America's Got Talent. So kind of a weird story, taped America's Got Talent. I'd watched it every single week. And I put down my Bible and I was reading the book of John and I went to find on the DVR America's Got Talent and it wasn't there, but it had been replaced with another particular program about pursuing a relationship with Christ. And that's when I just felt like, you know, God speaking to me, you know, in that kind of odd type of moment. And I was asking him, I was like, hey, you know, show me your voice. What does your voice look like? What does it sound like? And I feel like that's just the way he spoke to me. And he spoke to me in other ways after that, obviously, but that was the very first time that I was like, okay, let's go. So
yeah, that's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. So when you created Iron Deep in 2021, I believe, tell us more about that and, you know, kind of what your heart was behind it when you started it.
Yeah. So really the heart was, I've been in the business world for about 16, 17 years, mostly real estate groups. So I've been a part of groups, mastermind groups, business seminars, conferences. I'd also been in the church groups, small groups, gone to some men's retreats, done some of that, right? And felt like, again, I was kind of in the business world, marketplace, business type of owners, which has its own stresses, challenges, like-mindedness, and you're trying to lead not only your life and family, but this business as well. What does that look like? And then I've been in kind of the Christian church world that, you know, your small groups and different things like that. And I always felt, honestly, a little disconnected with both groups because in the business world, a lot of it was about your own self-glory. What can you get? How can you be successful? What does that all look like? How can you live this complete life of freedom and options for your own glory and for your own self? And then you got the church world, which was awesome too, but I was a business owner and I felt like I didn't really relate to certain people in my small groups and at church. And I was going through these different challenges that maybe they couldn't relate to. So Iron Deep was really born of the heart of kind of putting those groups together, business owner, men of faith that want to go deeper, iron deep, iron sharpening iron and deeper in relationship with God and each other. And that's kind of where it was born. So it's a very raw men's group. You know, we've had some events where we rent out, we sleep under the same roof, we get real, we get honest with each other, we worship together, we pray over together, and we sharpen each other in three areas, which is basically Christ, our family and our relationships, and then also our businesses. We sharpen each other as well. So that's what it is.
Yeah. Awesome. So any men listening or wives that want to push their men to that, you know, is it really like if you are entrepreneurial in nature, or is that the type of man you're trying to attract to this? And
yeah, you know,
when they sign up, do they just sign up and they get connected to some of your resources, or what's the best place for them to plug in?
Yeah. So right now, so we have a website, irondeep.com, and we typically start off with kind of a men's awakening retreat. It's really just more of intensive three-day men's retreat. That really just gets us aggressively to know you and for you to know us, because, you know, I don't know about you, but if you meet people one-on-one or even small groups, sometimes it takes months or years to really get to know certain people. So we start off with the men's awakening to aggressively get to know you and to see if it's a good fit. And then from there, now we're starting our small groups to get involved. And then, yeah, mostly it is business owner, entrepreneurial men that are in this particular group. So someone leading a business.
Awesome. Yeah, like you, on your website, you say success is not the end goal. And especially when it relates to business, and I've been in the business world too, and it's all about like climbing the ladder, that next thing, you know, and sometimes you get there and you're just like, man, this wasn't what I thought it would be. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, where success, at least in our mind, you know, it's not the end goal of life. Can you talk more into that quote you have on your website and kind of what you found, you know, personally, and what you kind of drive to the men you talk about when we just kind of chase success without chasing God?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that men, if you've reached some sort of level of success, and typically, you know, in the business where we talk about some sort of level of wealth or money or power or recognition, a lot of them have that kind of letdown if they don't have this mission behind it. I've had even that in my own personal life. So really what I talk about on the website is success really isn't the end goal. Like, money is not the end goal. It just can't be. But if you were designed for that, because it also says that, you know, we love success. Like, I love to create, I love to drive and to achieve. I think God designed me with that talent. But if he designed you, you know, what are you going to do with it, I guess, at the end of the day? Because success can be an amazing platform for you to impact, for you to share the kingdom, the resources to impact kingdom, talents to impact kingdom. So, you know, what we try to do here at Iron Deep is, hey, we want to be successful. Like, we're not going to squash that. I'm not going to say, hey, don't do business. Right. Don't be successful. Don't do any of that. We say, we want you to be successful and thrive at that, and let's surrender it to the kingdom. What are we going to do together? Because if it's, at the end of the day, if it's about you, and if it's about you want to be driving this or to be living in this so that you can be extremely comfortable, then this isn't the group for you. But if you want to be successful for the mission, to impact more lives, for resources, then really that's what Iron Deep is about. So it's really just about success gives you the platform to impact more people's lives at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's good. And I, you know, you hear celebrities and stuff that just constantly, you know, it's never enough, you know, even at the level that like, oh, I would just dream to be at that level of wealth. You know, it's just never enough, whether you're Elon Musk or whatever. It's like, you know, there's always something that money can't satisfy. And so we look at that as the end goal. And I think there's a realization, you know, hopefully that people will have, is that even in the Christian world, you know, it's either a prosperity gospel or it's a poverty gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's both sides of that have truth, but you know, you should not just chase prosperity to have a monetary thing. But then if God's blessed you with wealth, and you should use that for the kingdom, right? You should give back, you should invest in things that can help further his kingdom and not your own. But at the same time, you know, God's not called you just to be poor on the side of the road and not give anything back to the kingdom either. And so that's at least what I see. It's like either or approach, but give away more than you would. Like, people like get hung up on tithing, for example, like, oh, there's 10% is not in the New Testament. So, well, they gave away everything. Like, mm-hmm. The disciples gave away everything they had, right, and distributed it. You know, so like, is that what you're, would you rather have that than the 10%? Like, we fight with God over just being a cheerful giver, which is, you know, 1 Corinthians talks about, mm-hmm, God loves a cheerful giver. And so I think if God's blessed you, he's blessed you to be a blessing. And oftentimes we look at the blessing is the end goal instead of, okay, God, everything I have is yours. How can you use me now to further your kingdom? Right. And it is through our gifts and resources and abilities, and not just a monetary approach either. But, you know, God's given us, Ephesians says, God's given us abilities since the creation of the world, you know, to do good works for his pleasure. And so whether it's being creative, or whether it's, you know, helping children, or whether it's administrative, or whether it's any of these giftings, ultimately are not for us. And yep, I think that comes through with your mission.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And, you know, just going back, I was just kind of reading, you know, Matthew 25, when, you know, he's just talking about the different talents, like, what are we given? And it's so funny how, like, even in this world, we put business or success or money on this kind of pedestal. I just say, hey, it's just a talent. Mm-hmm. It's just a talent, just like playing the guitar, playing music. It's just like just painting or being a pastor or leading people or speaking. It's all just a talent. And what are we going to use it? What are we going to use it for? For his glory or for our own? And that's what I was saying. If God's given me, I think, the gift and talent for business, then let's go. Let's use it. I want to use my talents. A lot of times when we say how much is enough, like, we just say, oh, I'm not going to do anything. And then that's not good. Use your talents, be successful, but then, you know, use it for his glory. So
yeah. And the that parable is so important too, because the point of that was the person that had one was looking at the person that had 10 and wishing he had 10 instead of using what you had, instead of like, oh, I wish I could be like this person I see on social media influence, or I wish I could write 20 books. But why don't you start with the blog? Why don't you start with what you have in front of you and then see if God grows that, you know? And I think it's just gotten worse with the digital culture we're in, is we just, comparison kills our contentment with where we're at and where God has us. And God may never bring you past, you know, what you see in front of you. And that should be okay too. It should always be about his will. Not about just, you know, trying to model someone else and their journey, because that gives us into just, you don't know what they went through. You don't know their process to get there. You don't know the trials and the problems they had to face to get to that level. And maybe that's not for you, because maybe you don't have the character that can bring you to that point either, you know? So we have to look internally.
Yeah. And that's just one thing I think we can all get into the comparison trap. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. I mean, I can get into that trap. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, can get into that particular trap. Like, it's all of a sudden now you're looking at, oh, I wish I had a great family. Like, someone that's rich, they're like, man, I wish I had a better family, right? Or better wife, or better kids. We can all get into that. I think the trap that we can mostly get into is maybe in the church world too, is we just want numbers, more followers, more people to listen to us. And I've even been thinking about that lately. So Iron Deep honestly was born really with the mindset of, I want to go deeper instead of wider. So for me, like, and I have to fight with that, like, instead of doing a lot to get more people to listen or to read, or can I go deeper with the individuals that God has put in my circles? And I think maybe your listeners can hear that. Is there certain people in your life that would you really rather, and I would rather go deeper, right? I would rather have a deep relationship with a few people and to disciple and to mentor and to pour into than to have 10,000 followers or whatever that looks like, right? At the end of the day. And I think, but sometimes we just go for what the culture said. It says it's cool. So,
yeah. And then Jesus modeled that, right? He had the 5,000 plus followers he fed, you know, probably closer to 10,000 with women and children. And then he had, you know, the 72 he sent out, he had the 12 disciples, and then he had the 3 that he brought to, you know, the transfiguration and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I think there is something to be said for the intimacy that comes with just a few people that know you well, instead of trying to be all things to all people. And when you talk about church and about men's ministry, you know, what is one thing just you see from your perspective that we have church leaders that listen to this as well? What are some things churches do well with men's ministry? And what is something you think they, in general, large C church, you know, can improve when it comes to men's ministry?
That's a great question. Number one, I had a podcast on the other day, and it was a couple of guys, they run dad camp. So that in the Midwest, there's this camp called dad camp. You can take your kids, but a lot of it's about how to be a better father, Christian dad. And we were talking about that. And they're talking about how even men's ministry within churches, there's not as much that they've seen. A lot of times the resources go into kids' ministries, women's ministries. So number one, just look at your congregation. What does that even look like? Because at the end of the day, we know some of the statistics tell us that if a man's heart comes to Christ, the rest of the family has a far better chance of coming to Christ. People that are in prison typically had some sort of dad trauma in their life, right? So I think it's so important, number one. So if you don't have anything surrounding it, I think, you know, get to that particular point. And then I would just look at what men are just kind of looking for. There's the book, The Wild at Heart, obviously was super popular. Men have this kind of wild heart style adventure, you know, some of that stuff. And just look, do you have certain things that men can plug into that you're not providing? Yeah. Like, for example, here's one of my pet peeves. Don't get me on the kind of soapbox of it all. But one of my things is, you know, we do come to church and we just sit shoulder to shoulder, side by side, right? I like when we do our programs, I mean, I love to have men face to face, sit around, what can we do face to face to really build those deeper relationships? That's just an example. So adventure types of things, face to face, can you do certain things? My small groups, when we do our events, you know, we might have 20 or 30 guys there, but then I break them into 4 people. So like, again, the more engaged they can be. It's just, I think one of the disengagements of church is because our people are even engaging.
Right.
That's a great question. Are you doing your program for them to engage or just to listen and consume and then they don't know anybody, I guess? These are some of the things I've been thinking through.
Yeah, you know, that's true, because we complain about consumer Christianity, but we've created a culture where that thrives.
Right.
Where just you come and I'm going to show up for an hour Sunday. Maybe I'll show up once a month and then I'll call myself a Christian and then walk out and live like the world the rest of the week. And that's, there's no life in that. I'm tired of that being a formula just to get into heaven without people saying, calling out people for their sin or saying like, I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to help you along the way. I'm going to invest time into you. And this isn't just about your pastor doing it. This is about the church being the church, rallying around the hurt, rallying around people that need it, realizing who's sitting in the back row with no one around them, not just going up to them at greeting time, but saying, hey, can we grab coffee after? Mm-hmm. And it's looking for those God opportunities, because especially with men, you know, I think there's, like you said, a need for, I mean, women just do this so much easier with connection and, you know, small groups or having a knitting group or something like that, you know, and guys are like, I'm good, I'm fine, I don't need that. And we just kind of, you know, okay, so I need to come to church because my wife and kids go there, but I'm just going to sit there for an hour. And then what's kind of in it for me? And really drawing people to the heart between their Father in heaven, like the spiritual part of it, to draw them to that there's more to that, but also the community part, mm-hmm. that there is a benefit to guys talking about guy stuff, to doing guy stuff, to just being out in the wild, if you will, and going out. And like, we even at our church, we have just an airsoft. That's like the new thing in the last year we've been getting into, is just going in a field and shooting each other with airsoft. And it's almost a ministry. It's for guys and women, but also like, some guys will show up and not ever come to church and be like, wait, you guys are pastors? And then the next Sunday they come. You know, it's just an awesome story of just like, just don't be so spiritualized that we just can't be real either, you know?
Yeah.
And I like what you said about men having just father wounds, because that's so real too. And we don't talk about it. And there's, I don't know, did you watch a documentary that came out in 2017 called The Work?
I don't think
so. It was a documentary, and it's not even from a Christian perspective, but it was taken at Folsom Prison in California. And they brought in a bunch of civilians into these inmates of the prison, and they just did small group for like a week. Mm-hmm. And they just talked around a circle, and the inmates were learning from the civilians and vice versa. But the main thing that came up from that documentary is that almost every man in that documentary had some kind of wound. And many times it was a father wound,
wow.
which often led to why they're inmates to begin with. You know, they just went down that path from a father wound, even to the point that one part was very powerful, was he said that, you know, he was crying and he brought up a time that when he was like 11 years old, that his father wouldn't let him help wash the car because he said that you can't do that, or you're not, he said something negative about his, you know, his identity.
Wow.
And that one little thing stayed with him for years and years. And I think about that myself as a father, like my words have power. And if I speak death over my children, if I speak negative about their identity, those are wounds. Those are traumatic things that your children will carry with them. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree. You know, that's things we talk about all the time. The father's words are so powerful, so powerful. And so I think, just to kind of go back to what do we do, I would just say, don't be afraid to shake things up. You don't have to do what the culture's doing, right?
And if you look at the culture, that, you know, trying to emasculate men, you know, and this oftentimes that will seep into the church as well. And so there is something to be said for a godly man that seeks after God, that loves his family, that honors those around him. So I want to move on talking about your book, The Secret War Within. Here's it in the video if you're watching. This book is amazing. I'll just say it up front. I could not put it down. Thank you for sending me a copy. And I get sent copies, and I have just a catalog of books that I'm trying to get through. And so I didn't know if I would have time for this. And I started like the first chapter, and I had like three other books I'm reading. But then I just came back to this like over the course of a week. And that doesn't happen where I just don't put a book down. And this was just something that definitely wanted to have you on to talk about it, because I think everyone needs to read this, especially men. It really speaks to the heart of the matter. And it's an allegory, which is also not a book I would normally read, you know, but it's one of those things that I think that it just tells such a powerful story without breaking it down chapter verse and like diving into all the nitty gritty. It just tells a powerful story that so many people can relate to, similar to like a Pilgrim's Progress or something like that. Mm-hmm. So tell everyone listening, you know, kind of an elevator pitch for the book and kind of why you wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thanks for reading it. Thanks for, you know, the response of it has been just overwhelming. The men that have responded and women that responded to it too. So yeah, I mean, the elevated pitch is this was going to be, the title was going to be The Secret War Within a Driven Man. I wanted to write a book that really just pulled back the curtains of men, and especially men maybe in my space that have a drive. And I think all men, they have a little bit of that drive. They want to achieve, they want to reach this certain level of success. So really it just kind of is about the heart of this particular man named Nolan Banks. And a lot of my story is particular in here, but a lot of it's about a man who has achieved certain things in his life. He has chased after the success, the money, and he's achieved all these things, but he still feels this emptiness, this void. And instead of, again, we could have written a nonfiction book about it where I say, here's how I feel, or here's what I did, but you can see it. And that was really the whole point of the allegory. And instead of listening to what I maybe have to say, you can see this man really struggling through this. You can see his thoughts, which I thought was really interesting because you can't see a man's thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like I can see what you say, Tim, and I can see what you tell me, but I can't see your thoughts. So this book really is, you can see his heart, you can see his thoughts, you can see how he's feeling. And he is really struggling, he's really battling with this void, this emptiness. He gets invited on this particular adventure. And really this book is boiled down to, it's about a man's identity. He wrapped his identity into his success, his career, which many men do. And he struggled because he didn't know he was doing that. But throughout the years, he struggled to just let that go. So it really just points out to this man's struggle of letting his identity surrender to God. And then the other part is just about surrender. So he has these things that have such a hold on his life. Again, the power, the recognition, the money, the self-glory, for his name to be remembered, for him to go down in history of what he did. And he had to let all that go for God's glory. And really that's what the book is completely about. It's an emotional book. It's an intimate book. It's a vulnerable book. Again, it's raw. I would say it's even rated PG-13 in some of the parts. And I think that's what I just wanted to point out, that sometimes life is not PG. It's, you know, and you can see some of these things that Nolan's going through.
Yeah. I love it because it paints a vivid picture of spiritual realities that often we don't think about, but they are happening. You know, just think like if you could see into the spirit realm right now, like just, I always think about that, like what is going on, right? That I don't know, but I know it's there. Ephesians 6 tells us we fight not against flesh and blood. And so this book does a good job of making things physically, you know, which are spiritual reality. If Satan came to your door, right, and offered you whatever, you'd be like, no, get out of here. Like, I'm a Christian, right? But he comes and tempts us in other ways that we don't often think are him, right? And Satan's not behind every bush. But I heard someone say the other day, like, maybe every third bush. Like, it's not, you know, it's not all or nothing. But also, like, if you don't think he's ever involved, then you're also discounting an important aspect of our spiritual battle that we're in. And so that's what the book brings out really well, is the spiritual battle, this mental battle, this even physical battle we often do with ourselves of just go to strive for something instead of really just giving into who we are created to be. What are some other important takeaways, you know, from the book regarding spiritual warfare that we face and how we can be either actively engaged in it or passively understanding it?
Yeah, number one, just kind of being honest about it and just kind of seeking out what's the truth, and being honest with your own heart, being honest with yourself on, like, you know, do things have a control over you? We did a podcast the other day that was about greed. So we have an Iron Deep podcast and we did a podcast on greed. And there was a pastor, Tim Keller. So he wrote a book on, and he said, you know, he did on all these different sins, but he never has had someone come in and say, man, I really struggle with greed. So we kind of did this podcast on it, but just kind of asking yourself, like, you know, some of these different struggles, if you're struggling with these different things, just kind of being radically honest with yourself. And the book obviously has some of those dark points of, the flesh versus the spirit. My flesh desires this. What's the spirit desire? And just kind of being honest and intentional about those particular things. Mm-hmm. It's a battle. I mean, we saw Paul battle through it, right? I mean, he's, why do I do what I don't want to do? And I don't do what I know that I'm supposed to do or that I love to do. And why do we do that? Right. And we all have that battle. So the book's a lot about that. And again, just to kind of vividly, you know, what's light and what's darkness. It's funny how the enemy can make good things that God created very dark. And that's what he loves to do. Yeah. That's what he loves to do. It could be your giftings or your work, and you make that an idol. It could be sex. You know, we did a podcast the other day, like God designed such an amazing thing between a husband and wife, and we've made it so dark. So the enemy just loves to do that. So I think it's just like, you know, realizing what's light, what's dark, and then which path are you going to take? There, in the book, it talks about that a lot, you know, and it has these kind of allegorical, you know, pictures of there's this wide path, there's this broad path, this big gate, then there's a narrow path. Which one are you going to take? The one's really easy. Everyone else is going down it.
Yeah.
And there was a point in the book too. One of the guys says, what was your favorite part of writing in the book? And I was trying to think about that. I was like, I don't know. And he said, one of his interesting parts was there's this vivid where like they're walking through, we call it the Valley of Shadows, and really it's hell. But it looked awesome. And there was an image where they made it look, you know, very enticing, right? Everything, everyone was getting along, but then reality came and it was hell. Like it was dark, right? It was burnt. Anyways, there's just some cool things that we wrote in the book, but I think that's just reality. What's light and what's dark?
Yeah. I mean, the darkness that Satan's a part of often comes, I mean, he can disguise himself as an angel of light, you know,
right.
If you don't have discernment and grounding in the word of God, a lot of things that look good to our eyes or to our flesh can seem like, oh yeah, God would want me to do that, you know, but without knowing the truth, like I said, then you can go down that path that Satan has led countless people down. But the other part of the book that there's the spiritual warfare side, but the other part that came out to me is just the love of God and how that comes through with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And just that despite no matter what we go through, that God's there for you, that he's actually alongside you, that even though it might appear that he's not there, but he's also like equipped you for battle, you know, that you don't have to like constantly, no, God's given me the tools and resources. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. God's equipped me to fight this battle with his help. And so anyway, that came through as far as just the overwhelming love, you know, and I think sometimes it's even more, you know, we know we hear God is love and all this stuff, but there's so much richness to it that we often forget in our daily life. And I just watched a documentary called After Death about near-death experiences. And one thing that stuck out for me was that everyone who experiences this across all the accounts of near-death experiences was this overwhelming light of God and this love that people said, like, there's no comparison to what we have ever said on earth. Like, they felt more free and more alive than they do in our mortal bodies.
Wow.
And that's kind of what I thought about with this book, is that experiencing like through the struggle, and it was, God doesn't take us out of this world yet. He doesn't take us out of the struggle, but he loves us through the battle.
Yeah. So. And I love that. And I think that's the one thing that I've wanted to portray is just God as the Father, as God as the Comforter, as Christ, as the brother, as the friend, and the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. So I love creating just that piece of the book, because I think God the Father, he created us in his image. And sometimes we got this view of God, but in this book, like, he's laughing, right? He loves adventure too, right? And he loves his child, and he's there for us, and he's walking with this character, Nolan, and he's speaking wisdom into it and into his life. And that was the one thing that I've been kind of reading through, is just the wisdom and just the kind of, you know, listening, and what does God's voice particularly sound like? What's the shepherd's voice? How are we going to listen for that? So I loved, you know, drawing that out. And it was fun just to do it in the allegorical way, because what you said was, yeah, maybe it's, here's this chapter, here's how scripture breaks it down. Mm-hmm. And now I got to do it where he was speaking into it. And maybe it wasn't verse by verse or something like that, but obviously, you know, we try to have it biblically based, and him speaking into Nolan's life based on what the Bible says. So,
yeah. And from chapter one, you're like, I need to know what happens to Nolan. Like, you're invested. So,
yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Anything else that you'd like to share? I haven't asked.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. This has been just a lot of fun, Tim. You know, I'm a fan of what you're doing and everything that you have going on, and just keeping our eyes on Jesus. You know, if you're a man listening to this, or even a woman, and just want to encourage you, let's just join together. You know, he made us together to do this together. and to unify. And so let's unite in with what we're all doing for a singular purpose. And that's the whole mission.
Amen. Well, we'd encourage everyone to connect with you. Go to irondeep.com, right? And they can get your book on Amazon. This is it again here, Secret War Within. I'll put links to those in the show notes. Brett, thank you so much for coming on. God bless you and your ministry.
Thanks, Tim. You too, man.
All right. For you listening, until next time, go with God, grow in discernment, and keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Don't forget to hit subscribe. If this episode blessed you, please share it with a friend. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect with the hosts of the show.